Do grab a seat. Let me say good morning, everyone. My name's Matty. I'm one of the trainee ministers here at church, and I'm about to speak to us all from that last reading that we just had, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. So you might want to get that up in front of you if you've got one of these wee sheets. We, as a church, believe that we can only really understand what's going on in the Bible if God helps us. So I'm going to pray to God and ask him to do just that as we come to look at this bit of it together. Our Father, we've just been singing of how wonderful a thing it is that you took on human flesh by sending your Son into this world. And it's a wonderful thing we get to reflect on that this Christmas. And so we pray that as we read the story of Jesus' birth again, you would give us fresh ears and fresh hearts to see it anew and to rejoice in knowing that you really are God with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's fair to say that a lot has happened in 2022. Obviously, a lot happens every year, but it feels like the news has been particularly full since January. Lots of stuff has happened. And so many things have gone on that you would be forgiven for forgetting some of the smaller things, things that were quite a big part of our lives at the time, but we all seem to have moved on from. I wonder if we can cast our minds back to the first part of this year, the early months. If you're an older person, you were probably engaged in this. If you're a younger person, you may have a grown-up at home who would look at their phone for about 10, 15 minutes every day, maybe longer, and scratch their head and seem to get quite frustrated or quite excited about something. And that thing was Wordle. I don't know if you can remember it, but it was a really big deal in the first half of this year. Now, I know that a lot of people in our church are something of a Wordle expert. Some people are still going, even in December, doing it every day, trying to get it down and down from 5 to 4 to 3 to 2. Some people even fluke out and do it in one clue. If you don't know what Wordle is, it's a little puzzle game. And basically, if you type in a five-letter word, and if the letters come up black, they're not in the word at all. If they come up orange, they are in the word, but in the wrong order. And if they come up green, then they're in the right place and they are in the word. Hopefully that all makes sense, because I thought it would be a bit of fun to relive the glory days of January to April or so and play a big game of Wordle all together. I know how much people love audience participation, and so I'm sure you're all very excited to tell me what's going on. Now, to make it a bit easier for you, I've got a little bit of the way through all of these clues, and they all are words to do with kings, okay? Things you might associate with a king. So it couldn't be easier. Let's get our first clue up. So here we go. It starts with a C and an R and an O. It's got an N in it, so that must be the last letter. What could this word be? Yes. Crown. Let's see if you're right. Amazing. Well done. See, it couldn't be easier than that. Let's see. If we've got a slightly harder one next. What have we got here? Right. So it must start with a P. It's got an O and it ends in ER. What might a king have that this word could be? Any guesses? Sword, not sword. Do you know, Eleanor, over here? Par. Is it par? It is par. Kings have par, don't they? Especially if they come from Ireland. They've got loads of par over there. Let's see. This is maybe a slightly harder one. Only two clues. It starts with an S. It ends in an R and a D. What might a king have? Ewan, do you have any ideas? No? Are you sure? Might take it into battle and fight people with it? No? Any guesses? Eleanor? A sword? Kings have swords! Kings ride into battle with swords to beat enemy armies and to deliver their people and to save them. That's the kind of thing that kings do. I guess those are just three words. Sword and power and crowns. These are the kinds of things that we might expect a king to have. But you might have noticed in that reading from Luke chapter 2, we read there about the birth of a king who doesn't have any of this stuff, a very different kind of king to the one we might expect. I think Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, is a story of some surprisingly scared shepherds and also a surprisingly simple savior. So let's look at some of these verses together again. If you've got your sheet in front of you, it starts off, verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. So let's set the scene. It's night, it's cold, it's the first century, we're somewhere in Palestine, and we've got these shepherds gathered around the fireside watching their sheep. Now, we need to understand a bit about what kinds of people these shepherds were. You see, when you and I think of a shepherd, we may think of something like this. We might think of a kindly northern, I don't know, some untraceable accent man from somewhere looking for his dog, looking for a sheep with a big broad smile on his face. We might think of that when we think of a shepherd. Or we may even think of something like this. We may well think of the classic school nativity shepherd with her dressing gown, with her tea towel on her head. What could be cuter than that? A cute little shepherd. The thing about these shepherds, though, when we think about it, is that to be a shepherd, you had to sit out on the hillside all night, keeping watch over your sheep and ready to step in and fight off wolves and bears, and I don't know, lions, whatever they had back then, to protect your sheep. To be a shepherd back then, you had to be really strong and big and burly and tough. Can you guys look really strong and big and burly and tough? Yeah, that'll show those wolves. Thank you very much, shepherds. You can grab a seat, and thank you very much for gracing us with your presence. To be a shepherd back then, you had to be really tough. So these shepherds were tough, tough guys. That's what makes what we read next all the more surprising. Verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Our big, tough, strong, burly shepherds, they're not just scared, they're absolutely terrified, filled with great fear. What's got them so spooked? How could such big and strong guys get so afraid? Well, actually, their fear comes from realizing something. They've just realized that God really is there, and he really does care. The God who made everything, made the universe, made the world, made them, he's real, and he knows all about them. Now, we don't know what kinds of guys these shepherds were outside of their shepherding. Maybe they were coming to church every week, singing songs and worshipping God. Maybe they knew God existed, but they sort of just tried to keep him at arm's length, kind of pretend that he didn't, say they weren't very religious. Or maybe they completely rejected the very idea of God, ignoring him completely. I like to think that maybe they were a combination of all those things, and maybe they sat around the fireside at night talking about God, everyone sharing their idea of what God would be like if he existed. Now all of a sudden they find that God isn't just an idea, God's here. And whatever they've been thinking about him, now they're faced with him in the form of this angel he has sent, this messenger, and they don't feel big and burly and strong. They feel little and puny and weak and scared. Because a great big God, a God who made everything, a God who is completely and blindingly good, well, he knows all about all of the ways that these shepherds have sinned against him. I've called them surprisingly scared shepherds, but maybe it's not surprising at all. Because actually the Bible tells us that this word sin, it's not just about what we do. Really it comes down to what we think about God. It's saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And so maybe when we think of all the times that that's been my attitude towards God, that's been our attitude towards God, we might start to understand that it would be quite something to all of a sudden have this angel appear in front of us and realize that God really does care about all of those things. That's why the shepherds are afraid. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there, because as well as some surprisingly scared shepherds, this story is also one in which we meet a surprisingly simple Savior. If an angel is God's messenger, well, what's the message that this angel brings to these small and weak and scared shepherds? Well, we read it in verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? Just think how relieved you would be as one of those shepherds, terrified, shaking with fear. And the first words that this angel sent from God says are, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Phew, it must have been such a relief. God is real. God is there. The God I've told to shove off, he is telling me, don't be afraid. Why not? Why doesn't God want me to be afraid? Well, that's where it gets even better. The shepherds don't need to be afraid because God has sent the angel to tell them some very, very good news. News that will be joyful, not just for them, but for absolutely everybody, both then and now and forever. The good news they have to share is about a baby who's just been born. Now, it's always really, really good news when a baby is born, isn't it? I don't know if you know anybody like this, but there are some people out there who, especially blokes, when they become dads, they go from not really caring about babies at all to all of a sudden, all they talk about is their baby. All they talk about is, how cute is my baby? All they talk about is, hey, I know I'm preaching at church, but let me tell you about my baby. All they do, even without you asking them to, they get their phone out and say, hey, look at some cute photos of me and my baby. Like, I don't know if you know anybody like that. But that's what tends to happen when babies are born, because a baby being born is very, very good news. But this baby, even though a baby's always good news, there's something even more special about this baby the angel has come to tell the shepherds about. Just notice where this baby is born. If we hear that a baby has been born in Windsor and he's called something like George or Philip or Louis or Charles, we'd think that must be an important baby. And that's a bit like what's going on with the city of David, Bethlehem. That's the place where the Bible's most famous king, King David, came from. So where the baby is born is significant. And then also, look at the titles that this baby is going to have. He is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Those are just big Bible words, meaning that this baby, he's no ordinary baby. The baby who's just been born is God's special chosen king. The king who's been promised for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The king who's going to come and will have all of God's power to beat all of God's enemies and set God's people free. That's pretty amazing. It's really amazing. The angels have just told the shepherds that a new king, a very, very special king, has been born. Now, when we say that a king has been born, we need to understand what kind of king the angels are talking about. You see, when we think of a king, we probably think of something like this. A very well-dressed, very posh man who seems to spend his time walking around, shaking people's hands, asking them what they do, and pointing at things, and having people bow to them. Yes, he's a very, very regal king. thank you, Your Majesty, Your Majesty. Your Majesty, I think that's all if you want to grab a seat. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning. That may be the kind of king we think about, or we might even think about the kind of king we saw earlier in Wordle, the kind of king who wears a crown and wields a sword and looks very impressive and regal and rides into battle and defeats all the enemies of his people. The kind of king who sends the English homeward to think again. That might be the kind of king we think about. King John, I think, thank you very much. You can grab a seat now. These may be the kinds of kings that we think about. But is that the kind of king that the shepherds should be looking for? A really impressive, really posh, very regal, very important man? Should they be Googling important, impressive palaces in Bethlehem? Should they be researching which rich families have had a baby born recently? Well, no. No, actually, they shouldn't do any of that. Because Christ, Lord and Savior, this baby may well be, but as I said, he's a surprisingly simple Savior. We read on, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." this baby king who's been born, he hasn't been born in the palace. He's not been dressed in the finest Ralph Lauren baby clothes and laid on silk sheets. No, he's just wrapped in simple old cloths and laid in a manger, the kind of thing that animals would eat their food out of. That raises the question, what kind of king is born like that? The answer is a very special kind of king indeed. Elsewhere, we find out one of the other titles that this king has is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The wonderful thing about this baby is that he's not just sent from God. He is God himself, like we were praying earlier. God taking on human flesh and coming to earth as a tiny and helpless baby. So right away, even as we think back to how the shepherds were afraid earlier, I think we know there are lots of things that can cause us to be fearful this Christmas, aren't there? We can look at the things around us in the world that we know aren't right, that we know are broken, wars and people in need. We can just look at our own hearts and minds and our families around us and see so many things that can cause us to be anxious and fearful. And right away, one of the truly wonderful things about this baby, this new king, being Emmanuel, God with us, is that that means there's real comfort for us, that the God who made everything, he's not a remote and distant God, he's a God who cares. God who cares so much that he would come to earth and walk among people like you and like me. That's pretty good news already. But actually, it gets even better than just that. On an even bigger level, this king that God has promised, this Christ king, this Savior king, this Emmanuel king, he didn't just come to show that God cares. And he certainly didn't just come to beat an army and to rule a country. No, this king came to beat the ultimate bad guys, the ultimate enemies. Sin, death, the devil, all the things which make life on earth hard and make wrong things happen. That's who this king came to beat. And what we see at Christmas, at the start of Jesus' life, is the pattern of things to come. Where even by looking really small and weak, looking surprisingly simple, Jesus is carrying out God's big plan to rescue everybody from sin. Remember we talked about sin earlier? That's really the reason why the shepherds were afraid. Well, they don't need to be afraid anymore because that's exactly what Jesus has come to save them from. And not just them, but everybody. Everybody who accepts Jesus as their king and trusts in him. And so we see in the rest of Jesus' life story that he doesn't show he's king by living in a palace and bossing people around and riding into battle with a sword. No, Jesus shows that he's the king of everything by looking small and weak. Jesus shows that he's the king by taking all of the sins, all of the ways we've told God to shove off of everybody who's ever lived and taking them on his own shoulders. Ultimately, Jesus shows he's king not by wearing a crown, but by dying with our sins on the cross. He shows that he's powerful enough to rule over everything by coming back from the dead to prove that our sin really is beaten. And so instead of being afraid, we can have peace with God, just like the angels sing. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased." So that's why this is really, really good news for us, for the shepherds and for us this Christmas. A king has been born. A king has been born to bring us peace with God. I know that if you're new to church this morning, this isn't the kind of thing you normally do. This might all be quite new and a lot to take in. Well, I would advise you to do what the shepherds do in the next part of this story. They don't just take the angel's word for it and say, that's quite nice. They go and find out. They go and check it out for themselves. Why not check out Jesus for yourself and take away one of these little books? This is the rest of Luke's account of Jesus' life. They're at the back. Read this and see if Jesus really could be the king that the angel is claiming he is. But for all of us, when we realize that King Jesus has been born, that our fears can be done away with and replaced by peace with God, well, then we know that we have a king who really has beaten our sin. A king whose coming is really good news. A king who, if we trust in him, we know is the best news of all this Christmas. Why don't I pray for us before we sing again? Our Father, we thank you for sending King Jesus. We thank you that though the sin in our hearts makes us fearful, you've sent Jesus to make peace with you. And so we pray that you would send us out knowing we're at peace with you if we trust in King Jesus. And we pray that that peace would be foremost in our hearts and minds this Christmas time. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.